Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.
It is the Dynasty Happy Hour open bar, not the podcast, but the open bar. I'm Gabe Gearing. Yeah, that's right. Put your drinks up. You know, I'm at Grab Bag Fantasy. You know me from potentially know me and what you do now from the Grab Bag Fantasy podcast. I'm kind of just talking to myself at this point, but you know, we'll have viewers at some point. So we're here. I'm joined by two other Dynasty Happy Hour Potters slash participants slash writers.
There you go. I said writers.
Writers, exactly. So we'll kind of introduce them first and foremost. First we'll go with David. So give yourself a little introduction where we can find you on Twitter and all that jazz. And
hi guys. My name is David Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter. And I'm currently sipping on a nice little whiskey and ginger beer here. And I added a little lemon here, so it looks good for camera. I am a television producer, and I did that show Bar Rescue for a long time. Although I wish I knew more recipes from doing that, but I do not. Sadly. So then people are always like, oh, you probably know. And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm sorry.
Although those drinks are all fluff anyways, man. They come up with the weirdest concoctions to throw them on the menu. I don't know about that.
Honestly, the biggest takeaway that I did from doing that show was like barbecue brisket, which is now like my life, my religion. That was the single greatest thing from that show that I experienced. It changed it. So it was food related, not even drink related.
Oh man, I am with you on the brisket, bro. Like I'm out in Texas in Austin, and it just falls apart in your mouth. I don't get it.
Oh, it's yeah, little slices of heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for jumping on you know the inaugural open bar, and then we've got Brian as well. So yeah. I kind of, you know, spoil alerted your name, but you can, you know, mention that again and shout yourself out on Twitter, all that.
Sure. Yeah. My name is Brian. My friend Jordan and I run the Jet Set Dynasty pod. We're trying to put out a new episode this week, hopefully. So keep an eye out for that. You can find me at footballbrian, number 15. And I'm drinking, it's from Omagog Brewery. Put it up here. It's a brewery right outside Cooperstown. So, girlfriend went to visit the Baseball Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago and brought me back some good.
Awesome.
Nice.
Let me see that beer bottle again.
You see it there?
Oh. Yeah,
it's fancy.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a simple man.
Yeah. Hey. Well, I've got good news for you, Brian. You're not going to have to, I mean, I'm sure you enjoy your beer and everything, but you're not going to have to sip on that beer forever. I have something for you, my man.
Ooh.
I made this especially for you. Especially
that looks good.
You know what it's called, right? You remember?
What's it called? How do you pronounce it? Sirac? Scissor? What is it?
Scissor. Yeah. I put it. It's all it is. Just grape soda and a little bit of Robitussin. I'm a simple man myself.
Put your legs
Some Tussin.
Some tuss to tuck me in later. No, it's a Sazerac. So
Sazerac.
Ingredients, rye whiskey, sugar cube, muddled all up. Put some Peychaud bitters in there with that muddle. I usually do a little dash of water to kind of, you know, dissolve that sugar a little bit. And then the important part is the glass is rinsed with what's called Pernod, or you can also use absinthe. Oh. And so that's kind of, you gotta be, conditioned to it a little bit. It's got that like black licorice smell to it. You ever had absinthe before?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's good though. You're
see, like the little green man or whatever and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I want to say about absinthe real quick. Yeah. I was always portrayed to me growing up, you drink it, you see stuff. I had never seen one ghoul or ghost or anything sort of abstract from drinking absinthe. So I think that was a bunch of bullshit.
I agree. Yeah. I had it for the first time in Germany. So it was supposed to be like the legit kind and with the wormwood or whatever, because I guess it's the wormwood that makes it happen. And yeah, nothing happened for me. So I don't know. I don't know what that was all about. And I use Pernod instead. There's no weird, you know, little green man or whatever. It's just kind of got this herbal black licorice vibe to it. But ooh. I love it. It's solid, solid cocktail.
Yeah. Pretty sounds delicious.
So maybe the problem you guys aren't seeing the little green man is because you're drinking too much of it and blacking out too
That's
early.
That's true. It could be true.
How do you, we've just met, how do you know about me like that?
You can just kind of get a tie. It's the Beard Brothers thing I think we got going on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's called a green out usually when you start seeing.
Yeah, all of them.
You just, you start seeing yourself on like green bean can labels, like the Jolly Green Giant. And you're just like, is that me?
You just start seeing green characters. Yeah. Shrek is just popping up.
Yeah, you see your face on Shrek and you're like.
you're the Lucky Charms guy. It's like.
I do not want to visit that hallucination. No thanks.
No, thank you. Hard pass.
So with that intro, I mean, that nice little 7-8 minute intro, we're the open bar. We're chilling. We're lax. We're eventually going to talk about football, but we're kind of just here to have a good time and have some cocktails or some beers, whatever you're kind of feeling, and, you know, grab a drink with us and to you. Yeah. So we'll talk about some football, I guess. Do y'all know anything about football, or is it just kind of a?
I try to. I'll put it that way. I try to know things, but it's always surprising. But how little I do know.
Yeah, I know it keeps getting more and more surprising every day. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, and like.
Well, I gotta say though, the Macklin and the Decker things, those cuts have made things very interesting and sort of illuminated a few depth charts. Like I see a lot of reports of the Ravens or the Bills or even the Rams I've heard thrown out there. Some of these places where, you know, they don't have quote unquote the talent in the room and being great spots for these guys to end up.
Yeah. The thing, I mean, you could put all the teams up there or even the best landing spots, you know, and say, you know, the Ravens need a wide receiver or the Bills need another wide receiver, but do they even have the money for it kind of thing? And are they even in a position to contest and compete, you know, like, is it even worth throwing them that $7 million a year or whatever to get them on? But so that's a question for many teams. I don't know why the Bills are even throwing money. I just wait till Tom Brady retires. If I was in the Bills front office, I'd be like, okay, we're just going to sit back, wait till Bill dies, wait till TB12 just breaks, you know, a leg or something. Cause we have no shot. We have no shot.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like, when is he going to retire? He's what? 38, 39, right? Like, dude is old.
He said, what do you say, like 4 or 5 more years? I mean,
that's insane.
I don't know.
It will. I mean, it is interesting. Like, what if he does play? What if he just keeps playing and just never stops?
I mean, if he keeps winning, I mean, I think there's going to come a point, there's going to be a drop off. You know, there's going to be a season where they go like 7-9, and then everybody's just going to be like, oh man, screw Brady. And then.
Oh, I think we got some guys coming on.
Look at that. We got some more. We got another. Whoa. What is going on? We got a huge crew here. This must be. Well, let me. You go ahead and introduce yourselves, folks. I think I know who you are, but, you know, they might not know who you are. So
Go in. Get in there.
Appreciate it, Gabe. This is Big Co right here. Casey to my right. Jay Wayne to my left. I don't know if that's mirror image. Those things switched around.
I think we're good as far, or I don't know who's on your left and right. I don't even want to get into it. I'm already drinking. Let's not talk about switching back and forth.
Lose sultry voices. Casey Myers coming at you.
Ooh, what's up, Casey?
You have Morgan Freeman on your podcast?
That's Clive Walford. That's Clive Walford. Smooth Clive.
I had, yeah, the Morgan Freeman thing or what, Barry White. I mean, are we about to put together a jazz album or something? Like, totally okay with that.
Smooth jazz.
anything to, smooth jazz.
Anything to monetize the operation. If we're selling jazz albums, I'm down.
True. Hey, so what's up, fellas? Go ahead and introduce yourself and shout outs on Twitter, all that nonsense.
All right. We're the FF Dynasty. You can reach us on the Twitters at the FF Dynasty. I'm Jay Wayne at Jay Wayne's World. Excited to be here. First ever video.
I know. Did you put makeup on? Because
I definitely shaved my balls for this.
Jeez.
I was not just going to say. I wanted to get into the manscaping thing later, but we can jump into it now.
Okay.
Well, I do use a man groomer, so.
Is it separate or is it the same one you use for your face?
Never, bro. You got to have two separate ones. You got to have two.
That is good stuff. All right. Well, I'm Casey Myers. You can catch me at IMC Myers.
I'm Dynasty Big Co at Dynasty Big Co here.
And y'all run that Married to the Game podcast, right? Or am I completely mistaken there and I brought on the wrong people?
No, that's our podcast.
We thought about maybe just bringing our wives in here and just giving you the three wives.
I'd kind of like
seeing
that.
How that works.
Yeah, I'd kind of like it. I'd be confused because I've listened to the pod, but I'd be confused in terms of the voice. But I haven't seen faces yet, so I mean, you could have thrown that out there for sure.
We could have put their face, and we could have sat on the other side with mics, and you could have just thought we all
just lips it. Yeah, just have a script for him, and you're just lips in the whole time too. That'd be nice.
That would be awesome, man. Who else we got? I know Gabe. Who else we got on here?
Hi guys, I'm Dave Berger, writer here on Dynasty Happy Hour, I think, with y'all, and at Carl Jr. on Twitter.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm Brian. I would do the Jet Set Dynasty podcast with Jordan Nutter.
Yeah, Jet Set. What's up, dude?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? So
good to be here. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah, dude.
What the hell's going on with Jet Set, by the way? I've been waiting for that to show up in my queue again. Are y'all just taking some time off? What the hell?
Jordan's been real busy. He's running some stuff in his personal life, and I keep telling him, like, I was set to do it like 9:30 on Sunday, and he stood me up and I was like, dude, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, I got cut up and stuff. So we're gonna try and record this weekend at the absolute latest, get back on our schedule. So keep an eye out for it.
All right. Yeah, I love what y'all do because of the live thing. You basically put up a radio, you know, similar to this a little bit, but it's like live radio. And that used to be kind of a weekly thing, and I love that.
Yeah, we're going to try and get back to that. The consistency is key in this business. I mean, you've got to be the same place, same time.
Yep.
And we're going to try to get back to our old hijinks, too. Our first couple episodes, we were kind of getting wacky. And, you know, we've kind of focused on, you know, the meat of the business, but we want to get back to having some fun, too.
Meat. Yeah, I like that. I like that. A lot of people take themselves too seriously. And as far as listening goes, it definitely makes it easier to listen to if you're just having a good time.
Oh yeah, 100%, absolutely. So
you got to drop some good knowledge, though.
Speaking of having a good time, what are you guys drinking? Yeah. I see a can, I think.
Tell them about it, Jay Wayne.
It's a Revelry Brewing Company. It's a local craft beer brewery here in Charleston. Buddies of ours, they just started canning a lot of stuff. This is the Hotel Rendezvous.
That sounds exotic.
Yeah, Barbarian style wheat beer. It's kind of saison-y. It's good.
Nice. Should we?
We're all going with the Revelry beers.
Nice.
Yeah, I see those tweeted out when the pictures every time. I'm curious about it. I'd like to try it, but I mean, Texas is so big on themselves. They just basically throw their own beers out. Like, you can't drink anything else.
They don't allow the importation of other local beers.
No.
You guys are basically a country.
I know. Yeah, it's about to be that way, it feels. I mean, it already is, but at least.
Well, cheers, gentlemen, and let's talk some football.
Yeah, you know, we should probably do that at some point. We were just talking about how long Tom Brady was going to stay in the league, but
I'm kind of done. 6 or 7 more years.
Yeah, I'm kind of done talking about that dweeb. So who the hell is he?
Bring in Jimmy G.
He's my uncle.
oh boy,
I can see the resemblance.
Oh no,
yeah. Yeah.
I've been mistaken by Jimmy G several times.
Looks like we got someone else hopping on.
He's hopping in there.
Hey. Oh. Hey. I heard the bar was open. Let's go.
It's Eddie Doug.
It is.
What's up, man?
Nah, just stopping by for a brewski.
Hey, I love your forehead.
Oh, that's what she said.
I had to bring in full screen for you because it was just showing a clip of you, and it was just at the top, like just your eyes, like peeking up, like, hey.
Yeah, I'm on my phone, so.
Yeah, I got you. So what's up, Doug? We were just talking shit about Tom Brady.
Yeah, I heard a buzzing in my ear, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna jump on there because I had to defend Patriot Nation, apparently.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, how many more years is he gonna play as a backup quarterback to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, here's my take, and I've said it before that I think whether they win the Super Bowl or not this year, I think that they're going to make the decision between Brady and Garoppolo. And I think Brady ends up getting dealt to San Francisco. That's my prediction.
Hot takes.
Wow.
He's going to go home and finish up his career.
Are we allowed to have hot takes on the open bar? I feel like you just took one of those, one of those shots where you light them on fire and 151 or whatever.
So you're saying one more season with Tom Brady in New England.
Yep.
Wow.
Hot take.
That is scorching hot.
Hey, I'll swing for the fences. I'll probably get it wrong, but whatever.
Here's what I want to ask, though. In terms of if this is the dynasty happy hour, let's talk about Tom Brady dynasty-wise. I mean, where does he sort of land? How does he fit into your guys' game plans? Like, are you happy to have him for this year? Is it someone maybe we'll try to trade for just for short term? What do you guys think?
I traded for him chasing a championship last year.
Did it work?
Why not?
Wise move.
Came up a little bit short there.
Did come up a little short. But
week 15 against
week
the Broncos.
Week 15 against the Broncos killed me.
That was just bad luck on the trade deal there.
Had nothing else.
I think we're all a little more comfortable with Tom Brady than Drew Brees from a dynasty aspect.
I'm pro Tom Brady. If you guys have listened lately, if you've listened ever, I've tried to sneak it in there once a pod at least. Just so if anybody catches us one and done, they're like, okay, Big Co's all over Tom Brady. I got him for a handful more years.
Was Patriots. Just me that was gone?
Yeah, it's just you. Yeah. We're talking about you. No big deal.
Come on.
If we're talking about the man bun.
I know y'all.
Tease that thing out. Tease that thing out, Gabe. Tease that thing out.
I was thinking about going long hair, don't care tonight, but I didn't think y'all were ready for that.
It would probably bristle the microphone, and we'd hear a lot of.
It's like Gabe's going through a tunnel.
That the my man bun's actually a boom mic. It's not even.
It's actually a parachute. If you get running too fast, you can just pull the cord.
It's a lot of fun, man. It's a really underrated style.
He's like a dragster.
A little overrated right now.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, as someone who wishes he could grow a man bun, I can't hate on it too much. It's going the opposite direction in terms of hair growing.
Hey, Wayne's up here shaking his head. All kinds of jealous at Dave's
option. I would wear a man bun every fucking day if I could.
I'm just telling you that when I came back in, the viewership was a little low, and then I came back in, we bumped up, we increased it by 200%. I'm just saying.
How are you supposed to view this thing? I was going to, my wife wanted to watch, but I couldn't find an actual link to watch the YouTube.
Your wife heard about my man bun too?
She wanted to watch.
It was must see.
My eyebrows for this. She wanted to see what was going on.
Well, it's out there on Twitter.
Check the DHH Twitter. We just tweeted it out.
All
right,
cool.
On the Dynasty Happy Hour, yep.
So we were just talking about Brady and his dynasty value, and one of the FF Dynasty guys were saying that he recently traded for him. What did you give up for Brady?
I traded.
That was last year.
It was last year. I traded. What did I trade?
You gave Cam.
I traded Cam.
Cam
Newton
for Brady. Pretty. Brady in a second for Cam.
I got Brady in a second. Yeah.
For Cam Newton.
Yeah, yeah. I had to get rid of Cam. I was trying to win a championship that year, and Cam was killing me.
Wow.
Also, it's an 8-man home league. I wasn't that concerned about it.
Oh, still. That's fair.
Threw Cam to the side. I have Jameis on the bottom of the bench.
Oh, so you were fine on QBs.
Yeah, but I wanted to win. I wanted to take Jay Wayne down. It didn't work.
He was beating us up. It was basically him and Jay Wayne for the title most of the year, and everybody knew it. And Casey was just trying to get those starter points, which is what I try to talk to a lot of people about all the time. You know, bench points won't do anything for you. So I was trying. I told Casey I would make the deal if I was him. He took Brady. He got Brady, and, you know, obviously Cam was having the down year, very inconsistent. And Brady went in there and crushed it for him. But then week 15, he goes to play against the Broncos, and Casey was like, I can't bench him. And sure enough, the Broncos cornerbacks do what the Broncos cornerbacks do. And
I had to go home.
He had to go home.
Man.
But he's got him coming back around. And I know I got off on a tangent. I do that sometimes. But just to answer the question, I would still buy Tom Brady in a dynasty right now if somebody wanted to give him up for anything close to cheap. We said it on the most recent podcast. We were discussing him versus Drew Brees. I think that Tom Brady's everybody says that when that cliff comes, it's going to come fast. I just don't know. I think the system in the Patriots town is just too ridiculous, and they're just too quick to change their ways if they need to. If they need to go two tight ends up the seam, or if they want to throw it to Julian Edelman in half a second before the pass rush can get there, whatever they need to do, they're getting it done. And I just don't see Tom doing anything less than spectacular work for as long as he wants to, honestly.
Yeah, they're bringing in a lot of weapons this year. It almost seems like they're doing some sort of last hurrah for him. And yeah, he says he's going to play 5 more years or whatever, but you know, how realistic is that? And so they bring in Cooks. They even, I don't know, Andrew Hawkins, I guess, and Burkhead, sure. Gillis Lee. I mean,
I think it's super smart. Allen,
They're loading up, man.
You got to think about the fact that as many rings as they have, and they could just sit back and be like, look what we did. Instead, they're just pushing more chips into the middle of the table. I'm not the biggest Patriots fan, but how could you not be, you know?
Well,
did they lose anybody?
We could spend the rest of the time talking about that, but I want to keep Doug for a little bit longer.
Perspective, from a fantasy and just a straight gambling on the spread every week. If you just sign up for the Patriots every week, double down if you lose, they'll take care of you.
That's true. I met a guy once said he bought a laptop off his Patriots.
Sure.
Not hard. And speaking of that entire mess, I mean, who's the most reliable fantasy option there? Cooks, Gronk? I mean, who you like this year?
When Gronk's on the field, he's always the best. But the word there is win. You know, if he's there, he's a monster. If he's not there, there's like you said, Gabe. They got too many players now. It's just for me, it's like Tom Brady's the most reliable as far as your starting lineup. Everybody else, because there's just a ton of people there to take the points and spread it around. It's hard to say.
I'm all in on the wide receivers though for dynasty. I mean, Malcolm Mitchell, Brandon Cooks. I'll take them. Wherever you need to take them, I feel comfortable. I don't know. I know the question was as far as this next year. I think when everybody's healthy, it's definitely going to be waters muddied. But, I mean, I think you can take your guys where, you know, you're playing the guys you drafted high if we're talking startup. I mean, I'm going to play Cooks whenever every week probably. And Edelman while he's healthy.
Sure.
Mitchell if you have to. If Edelman or anyone goes down, Mitchell all day long.
Yeah,
I mean, forget the running backs. I don't know what to do there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the running backs, though, I'm rising on Gillis Lee a lot. And I just think back to – I was a LeSean McCoy owner last year in multiple leagues. And, you know, I watched a lot of Mike Gillis Lee as a result. And the guy is good. You're like half the time you look up at, you know, you're at the sports bar, you're looking up at the big screen for the big play in the Bills game, and you're thinking it's shady, but it's Gillis Lee. Yeah. And I just think – that, like, you know, coming into the Patriots, running back room system and their, you know, how they do things, I just feel like he's a talented running back. And I know Rex Burkhead is also that, but I don't know. I just feel like good things are headed for Gillis Lee.
I think it's a rare situation. I mean, I'm not a big, huge handcuffer, but I think if you get one, you got to at least stab on one of the other three, because you're going to at least get some play out of one of the three or one of the four.
Yeah, I mean, I think
regarding who's injured or not, or, you know, game flow, whatever.
Yeah, I think their top two backs are definitely White and Gillisley. I mean, they paid White in the offseason, and they paid good money to get Gillisley. So, I mean, I could see both of them being fantasy relevant, you know, RB2 level pretty much for both of them.
Don't forget about Rexy, though.
They gave Rex $3 million, I think,
right? They did, yeah, they gave Rex. I don't know how I feel about Burkhead, though. It's a, I don't know. There's something about him. Rubs me the wrong way.
Perfect Patriots pickup, though.
It's true.
Another division rival just scooped him up for barely nothing.
Not a division rival.
What?
Conference rival, at least.
I was thinking about all the lashings that they've given the Bills and with Gillisley and the way they took Welker from the Dolphins a while back, you know, just taking advantage of the division, just ridiculous front offices there that Bill gets to pick on every year. But, yeah, I mean – Casey's a big fan of Rex. Casey was on the Rex train before most, and he told me about how good Gillisley was last year before anybody else told me how good he was. I think Rex Burkhead was set to be a really, really good fantasy product there, and then they signed Gillisley, and it's just like, man, it wasn't very long ago that you just didn't know which running back to plug in your lineup. It's fun to have them on your team, but when you want to start them on a Sunday, you're just not sure which one.
I think it's got to be Gillisley. Got to be the lead horse in the stable right off the rip.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I heard a report coming out that was kind of their lead back at the time. And I've also heard reports about them pumping up James White a little bit. So, yeah, I think you're right, Brian, that's kind of their 1-2 punch right there. And I'm sure Rex Burkhead will get his too. But I think the odd man out here is definitely Deion Lewis.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy to think too. I mean, what, 1 or 2 years ago, you were, you know, trading him for a first round pick.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that just goes to show, don't mess with those Patriots running backs. You never know what you're going.
They're like a box of chocolates.
Oh, Jenny.
I love you, Jenny.
Doug Eddy.
You sound like my first girlfriend.
I didn't know we had a history before.
it was a long time ago.
Can we stop talking about the Patriots now?
Yes.
I was just going to ask that.
Do you guys want to talk about the Yankees or?
What's the rookie's name? Aaron Judge? Yeah, he's supposedly pretty good, right?
Yeah, he's a monster. He's like 6'7".
Stop it.
He's dropping the gavel on everybody.
Stop it.
Drop the hammer, Gabe.
Bar's closing.
Need a gavel. Need a gavel.
Last call. Stop it.
Gabe, I got a question for you. Did I read in our little our exchanges on the direct message that you traded Julio this offseason, Julio Jones?
I did. I just traded my boy Julio, and he went along with my team name as well. It was called, and I was like, Julio! Kind of the reference to A Night at the Roxbury, but, you know, Emilio versus Julio. And it's in a point per carry league, a 0.5 point per carry, and there's 1 point for every reception. So, I mean – I ended up getting Todd Gurley and some other pieces. It was kind of a big trade, I guess. Say what you want about Todd Gurley, whether he's coming back or not, but you just got to take a swing on these running backs in a 0.5 point per carry league. I mean, he played awful last year, and I mentioned this on the pod, my recent pod, a little free plug for me. Sorry, fellas.
There you go.
But he ended up scoring the 13th most as far as running backs last year. I mean, a 0.5 point per carry is just nuts. So even on a down year, you can score lots. Hey!
Tyler, uppercut.
It's like watching a scrambled Cinemax over there.
Wow, we're throwback to my teenage years.
Channel 77.
I can kind of see.
I think I saw a boob. Oh wait! I saw a boob. It's Tyler.
I'll call back. I'll call back in a little bit. I'm at work. Just want to say hi.
Welcome to the open bar, Tyler. And no drinking while on the job. You're a nurse, so that's definitely unsafe.
I'll take an apple teeny.
We know.
I thought it
we know, Tyler.
Coming right up.
Easy on the teeny.
We know you're not easy on the teeny, but we don't have to talk about that.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Later.
Okay. Later, man.
Bye. So, yeah, I dropped – I threw the deuces up for Julio and got Gurley, and you'll kind of see what happens. I was deep at wide receiver anyways. I've got Cooks, Robinson, Demaryius Thomas, Amari Cooper, Tyler Lockett, Josh Doctson. I mean, I'm okay at wide receiver. It was okay to let Julio go, I think, for a potentially garbage running back that just gets 20 carries a game. So,
I mean, that's still 10 points right there for you, though.
Yeah, I mean – exactly. Yeah, point per carry, huh? Wow.
Yeah. I see that kind of point per carry rising in popularity too. So I would advise people to definitely look at your scoring and just kind of look at your top 100 at least and see how they compare, because it can throw you for a loop for sure.
Well, I guess my question regarding Julio, and we could sort of pass it around, is he still sort of no one's untradeable, but I mean, this is a guy who obviously has a lot of fantasy potential coming up, but is he going to disappoint? Is he going to regress to a point where, you might not be able to trade him for as much as you can right now?
So 2 years ago, Julio had his best season, as an NFL player, and people were thinking that he was going to eclipse that last year, and he ended up not doing it. But the Atlanta Falcons as a whole had an amazing offense, obviously went to the Super Bowl. They ended up have two top 15 running backs or something. I don't know where Tevin Coleman lands, somewhere around there. And, good production from the tight end. Matt Ryan had his best year ever. I mean, the Falcons offense as a whole was absolutely nuts. And Julio, helped, but he individually, he wasn't really at peak level. And I'm not saying he's dropping off, but I'm just saying that I think that he already peaked last year, and I think he still has elite production for at least 2 to 3 more years, but it's definitely on the decline, so to speak, as far as elite goes.
I think Julio's career is a lot like Andre Johnson's. So tons of yardage, not a ton of touchdowns. And I mean, Julio's probably more of a physical freak than Andre Johnson was, but we saw Andre Johnson literally fall off the map at the end of his career. So if you can sell Julio high and get a nice package for him, I'd totally be down with that.
So in a PPR league, I just did a little bit of research here. In 2015, Julio had 136 receptions, and last year he only had 83. But he still managed to finish as a wide receiver 6 overall in a PPR league.
Yeah,
and he missed a few games too.
Right? But yeah. He only played in 14.
In the fantasy playoffs, mind you.
Right.
Yeah.
Where I needed you. That's why you're not my team and I got Gurley now.
At least they ruled him out and you didn't have to wonder if he was going to play or
the decoy.
Those are the worst, man. Oh, I hate
that. He's the king of that.
He is the king.
Calvin Johnson was the king, but Julio took the crown.
Yep. Yeah, you're right, Doug, about kind of the Andre Johnson comp there as far as production and whatnot. And I think you can throw Calvin in there as well. Those just kind of big-bodied wide receivers. There's a discussion whether a guy like Antonio Brown or Julio Jones is going to last longer in the league. And I think it's Antonio Brown.
It's Antonio. It's Antonio.
I mean, just Julio's just such a big dude and getting those lower body injuries. I mean, when's the last time that Antonio Brown got injured? Like,
he had a concussion in the playoffs 2 years ago. Right, yeah,
exactly.
That's it.
So
that's it.
You can't predict those, but I mean, and you can't predict any injury, but I think it's
fair. If you're going against Vontaze Burfict, you can predict the head injury.
If you're playing the Bengals, yeah.
He does play it in twice a year. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm a Steelers fan. I'm here in Pittsburgh, and I might say that Julio would last longer because I think that AB relies on his athleticism, and that's gonna go down quicker. Julio's not getting shorter. So I think that his style of play is gonna keep him around a little bit longer.
That's an interesting topic. I love that. Anyone else got thoughts on that? AB versus Julio.
That's a tough one.
I mean, I think I'd have to probably disagree with what you just said there. I don't know. Like, I feel like Julio's out there extending his body, making ridiculous athletic plays, coming down, landing hard time after time. Antonio Brown's he's open, and he never takes a big hit unless it's Vontaze Burfict. He's not laying out. His body's not taking that repetitive banging on the ground.
Plus, he's a lot smaller of a human being. Like that's a lot of human coming down on sure. you on yourself right. on the ground.
Well, I think
I'm taking Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I gotta go AB.
Oh man, you guys are ganging up on me here. I guess that's kind of my point though, is because you know AB is what 5'10", and yeah. Julio's 6'3". So yeah. you know he can lean on his size a little more than AB can. So you know when they start creeping over that 30, that yeah. scary 30 there, I think Julio's gonna have a longer and have a. Whereas, you know, AB is still going to have a good career, but he's going to lose a step here. It's
I think Antonio Brown could be this generation's Jerry Rice as far as playing late into his 30s at a productive level.
Wow. He does take care of himself. I mean, I'll give him that. I mean, being in Pittsburgh.
Him on Snapchat. He is always working out.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I mean, I follow him on Snapchat. You see, he's constantly moving, constantly working.
And it's like stabilizing, making it's not like lifting weights. It's like he's like jumping back and forth from half ball to half ball to balance like his knees. And
yeah. Have you ever seen him do the finger ladder? That is mm-hmm. it's insane. He moves that so fast. It looks so easy. But if you ever tried to do
Brown.
I like the point you guys made earlier though about him always being open, because he is all the time. Like it's crazy how like you watch a game and you're like. Especially when you're playing against him in fantasy, it's like it's coming, but then you're like surprised, like how does he get so open? Why is no one covering? What's Antonio Brown? Throw some people. Don't they know?
He's that good.
He is that good.
He's that good. Yeah.
He's that good, and he gets a ton of volume. Ben's not scared to chuck it his way in pretty much any situation.
And Ben buys so much time.
Oh, he's so what?
That is true. Ben buys a lot of time, and Antonio Brown's. Ridiculous. So
what about that though? Roethlisberger versus Matt Ryan, and maybe either. I haven't looked back. I just know that in the last couple of years, whenever Ben was out, the Antonio Brown sucked. And yeah. I'm not sure looking back as far if Matt Ryan. When's the last time Matt Ryan missed a game? And I don't even. Know.
I don't think he ever has.
I was gonna.
Well,
say,
he might have missed one. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you guys aren't buying in on Josh Dobbs then.
I am.
So I'm thinking that who
actually am.
If Big Ben,
truther.
Yeah, well, it looks like a Q-tip.
No, he looks like Ryan Shazier.
Yeah, but a much larger forehead.
Yes.
But I would imagine that Big Ben goes out before Matt Ryan's career ends, just assuming that these retirement things are true and he's hardly practicing much, so... With that argument, Brian, I guess I could see that side a little bit, but other than that, I don't know. As far as the player versus player, I'm on the AB side.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of look at it like, I mean, Calvin Johnson, you know, he kind of dropped off that edge too. He retired kind of randomly and surprisingly, but you know, his athleticism definitely took a dip there those last couple of years. And with his size and ability to kind of, you know, box out defenders, he was still able to be ready. So that's kind of what I was.
Well, we've got about 15 minutes left in the happy hour, open bar. I don't even know if those are the right words anymore.
Turn it up, Jets.
I think I need to refresh my drink. I might go.
I was just going to say, I'm going around two here, guys.
Hey, there you go. Luckily, I have a cocktail, so I sip it like a gentleman, you pigs.
Bartender.
Since we're between things here, I'll jump back. I think it's not close between Matt Ryan and Big Ben, who's hanging out the longest.
Oh, yeah.
I said it last year coming into the season that Matt Ryan was entering his mental prime. Everybody was down on him. I picked him up in the 18th round of a startup in the FFPC, wow. And then he went and won me the MVP. Big Ben is a Hall of Famer. He's awesome. But what he does to buy that time and shrug off the would-be tacklers, it's awesome to watch, but it's definitely taking a toll on his body. And like Gabe said, he's not practicing, and he's always beat up, and he probably has a hard time getting out of bed in the morning already. He's got two rings. You know, I'm sure he doesn't want to retire because he wants to play the game, but physically he will not last. It's beating him up, and Matt Ryan's just hitting his stride.
So is anybody worried about Martavis Bryant coming back and a little Schuster and maybe a little less targets going Antonio Brown's way, or is he just getting fed all day, every day?
I think
he's fine.
Yeah.
Bad question.
Next
I was
one.
I was gonna say, who do we think this year's Matt Ryan is for quarterbacks?
Andy
that
Dalton.
Has a big bounce back. Yeah, I think that's a good one.
I like Andy Dalton.
Reloaded the reloaded the cupboard there for him, brought in a top 10 burner, and Tyler Eifert, if he's healthy, that's going to play a big role. They brought in Joe Mixon to give him that running back that doesn't tip the hand if they're running it or passing it from the backfield perspective. AJ, Mike, you know, he's coming back in healthy. Tyler Boyd will get into his second year.
Another year with Zampezi.
Tyler Boyd had a quiet rookie season, and the drafting of John Ross puts a big, you know, dark cloud over him, but he's a quality wide receiver. I think Andy Dalton's loaded up with weapons, and I just picked him up in the 18th round. I hit him again in the 18th round with a quarterback in the startup that we just finished up.
There you go.
So you're saying top five QB for Andy Dalton this year?
Well, he was on a top five pace 2 years ago before he broke his thumb.
Yeah.
And he averaged. He finished in the top five. He averaged 20-something points a game last year with his entire squad getting hurt. So I don't know if I got him as top five, but all I need him to be is anywhere near the top 12, and I'm happy.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah, and Matt Ryan's been around that area for a long time. He just kind of needed things to go his way. I mean, he's been a top, you know, 12, 15 QB. Yeah, exactly. Shannon and help. And
well,
I don't know.
Sorry, Gabe, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I don't think that there's a Shanahan in Cincinnati that's really doing it for him, but I still like the pick there.
Oh, no doubt. You won't get too many people that get on the same parallel as Shanahan in my eyes, but I think the writing was on the wall in 2015. The Falcons started red hot, and then the offensive line just fell apart. They started 5-0 and then just kind of dumped the season. The offensive line can make you or break you in this league. And, the bad thing about for Andy Dalton, just say their offensive line's gotten worse. But as far as Matt Ryan goes, you could see that offensive line stabilize, and along with Kyle Shanahan's X's and O's, it was lightning in a bottle last year, like you were saying, with the Falcons offense, and they just set records all over the place.
Yeah, I think their offensive line was one of the only ones that played like every snap together the whole season.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Complete opposite of what happened in 2015.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what would concern me about the Bengals, though, is that the offensive line isn't amazing, and that O-line for Atlanta, you know, wasn't amazing either, but it was certainly better once they made that signing 2 years ago with Mac for the center. So, I mean, things really turned the corner there.
And oh, for sure.
I don't know if the Bengals quite are at that level yet. So that'll be interesting to see if he has time to even throw bombs to John Ross and AJ Green all day, you know?
Completely agree. I'm definitely not looking for an MVP season out of him. I just think the value of where you can pick him up right now is ridiculous, kind of like what Matt Ryan fell into last year. I certainly don't expect him to do. If he could do 80% of what Matt Ryan just did last year, I'd be all right with that. Like, he was averaging 20 points a game last year, 20 fantasy points a game, even as bad as it was. You look at his game log, and there's not one outlier 4 or 5 touchdown game that supports it, that bumps his stats up. Everything was 280 yards and 2
consistent.
Touchdowns.
Absolutely,
exactly, and that's what you're looking for. That really, really, really late QB.
Was that the first QB you took in that startup?
Hell yeah.
QB, I'll drink to that.
We were at the 16th round. It was Tyrod, Eli, and
Andy Dalton,
and we were going to take one there, but we kept trading our pick back, saying we'll take the last one on the board, and we just kept trading back, and we picked up a couple of next year's draft picks in the process and ended up with Andy Dalton.
Love that move.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. Really, really brought the squad together. Felt great about it.
Yeah, scooping value along the way. Got like Marquise Lee in the 16th round instead of taking a quarterback there. Instead of making the choice on one of those guys, grabbed us a Marquise Lee.
Picked up a Burkhead.
Picked up a Rex Burkhead. Robert
Woods? You Robert?
No. We traded the last pick of the draft for Robert Woods.
And in 2012, the last pick of the draft, we gave a fourth rounder next year to get back in there and scoop up Robert Woods.
I like Robert Woods this year.
Yeah, you got to at least be excited about the
chance,
you know, possible volume going his way.
Yep, he's about to have his Kenny Britt year, I suppose, huh?
Yeah.
Kenny Britt.
The opportunities you have to be excited about. I don't know if they'll be worth a shit, but.
Yeah, absolutely. What about, so we kind of opened up about it. David mentioned it kind of towards the beginning of the pod, and then we somehow, or not necessarily pod, open bar, live video, whatever. And but then we started talking about Tom Brady and the Patriots, blah, blah, blah. But we haven't talked about this yet. But the big news in the last week in football has been obviously Jeremy Maclin being dropped from the Chiefs and Eric Decker being beneficially released.
Not yet. They're supposedly trying to trade him, which is the dumbest right. shit I've ever heard. Like, why would you trade for him in his salary if you could just pick him up for whatever?
That's my favorite thing the Chiefs do. When they leave, he's going to be trade or released. No, he's going to be released.
We're going to wait until you release his ass.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. Stupid. I've definitely been that douchebag before where I'm like, I don't want Dorial Green-Beckham anymore, and I'm going to release him, but let me try and trade him for a fourth-round pick before I do it.
you got to see what the market will bear there.
Yeah, but you don't announce it to all of your league mates, though.
That's true.
Well, that's when you go after the guy that's got, like, the 12th priority in your league that's, like, on the bottom. It's like, you're not going to get him, so why don't you just give me a fourth-round pick for him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thoughts on that? I mean, is it good for Maclin? Is it good for Decker? Some thoughts of where they're going?
Yeah, hell yeah, it's good for Maclin. I think Maclin is good. The guy makes plays. He's injury prone, but, I mean, Alex Smith is, I think we all can agree, is not the most exciting quarterback. And I think if he lands on a team with a dynamic quarterback, I think he's going to have a very prolific fantasy season.
Yeah, same for Decker. I mean, he just got out of the worst QB situation in the league. Probably he's got to go somewhere with an uptick in quarterback play.
Everything, yeah.
If Decker goes to Baltimore, that's absolutely perfect. They just lost Pitta. They need a guy that they can work over the middle of the field. I love Decker's fit if he were to sign with Baltimore. Better than Maclin if he were to sign there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally.
I could agree with that.
Yeah, I think I'm more generally excited about Eric Decker than I am Jeremy Maclin.
Same here.
Decker offers the consistency.
Yeah.
Like he's just that guy that just goes out there, gets those catches, averages almost a touchdown. Done.
Well, what about our own Tyler Gunther over here playing Adam Schefter? Did you see that tweet that he sent out today?
Oh, geez.
His source is about
his buddy's uncle, Eric Decker's uncle or some shit.
Yeah. He's gonna retire.
So I retweeted Adam Schefter that said he was medically cleared to play, and I said, Tyler, what's up with that?
I saw that one, too.
That just made me laugh. Should have brought up while he popped in, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
That should have been all that we talked about while he was here.
I mean, he's in just the middle.
Just hammer him with it.
We need some hot takes. Where's your uncle, Tyler?
No, it's my buddy's uncle.
Oh, buddy's uncle. Not you. Yeah.
It's a friend of a friend.
Yep,
yeah. Yeah. They played the They were playing the telephone game, and it got back to Eric Decker might retire.
Started out with Eric Decker might have 10 touchdowns.
Hey, did it with Tebow. Why not?
What's their kind of ceiling, though? Do you think they could be anything more than, you know, a top, I don't know, 15 wide receiver in even the best landing spot? I mean, do you think they could eclipse that, or is it too far gone?
Wide receiver two upside, probably consistently – I would say a low-end wide receiver two for both of them if they landed in the right spot.
Both have put up wide receiver one seasons, and I don't think anybody's arguing that they're still in their prime. But like you said, Macklin's injury prone. But when Macklin's on the field, he's a monster, and Decker's just been—he's either getting you 100 yards or a touchdown every week.
Yeah,
Fitzpatrick. I think both can still be really, really good. But I think it will come down to landing spot, and I don't know. Either one of them goes to the Ravens. There's a ton of targets to be had. Obviously, Maclin was talking about Buffalo right off the rip. I don't think that the way that offense is lined up to run would give him the targets necessary to be better than a back end RB, a wide receiver two, maybe.
That's probably my least favorite landing spot for him. If he goes to the Bills there, I'm getting rid of him. I'm selling him if I've got him.
Maybe cock blocking Zay Jones, son of a bitch.
That's my dude. I love Zay Jones.
I think he probably will cock block Zay Jones a bit, but I like him. I like the addition there for Sammy Watkins more than anything, really. I like a veteran to come in there and maybe take a little bit of pressure off of the young guy.
Or once Sammy doesn't play, maybe Maclin can crush.
It's true. Put players back up.
Yeah. See, I think the Bills and the Ravens are good landing spots for football purposes, but I'm not entirely sure if they can put up wide receiver two numbers in either of those offenses. I would much rather have them in something maybe the Cowboys or the Cardinals or something like that, with maybe even the Saints, throw something like that out and make it realistic that they can put up wide receiver two numbers, because it's just not going to happen on the Bills if Sammy's there, and unless, you know, he goes down, which is entirely possible. And Joe Flacco's, I'm writing about this now, there's no way that he's getting a top 15 wide receiver on that team, period. So right. I don't know.
We see who snuck on here.
Hey, we were just talking about your friend's uncle.
Oh, really?
We were talking about Eric Decker, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, it's happening.
Are you using a stethoscope / headphones? Is that like a dueling thing?
Okay, I want to clear the misconception of what I am. I never once said I'm a nurse. I'm actually a janitor for Mayo Clinic. Oh. I always said, I'm like, I work at a hospital and people are like, oh, doctor or nurse, and he's too stupid to be a nurse. All right, a doctor. But the thing is I'm kind of like Goodwill Hunting at Mayo. Like,
you solve a lot of random math problems that are on chalkboards.
A lot of math
going no, in the hospital.
I almost spit out my beer.
What happens?
Go around talking about apples a lot.
How about them apples, Will?
But what happens is, I go past the client's room, and I'll go, "Hey, start Tyreek Hill this week." And I'll walk away and be like, "Wow, that man's a genius."
Goodwill Hunting.
How do you know?
I like it.
Like, I'll go past the doctor's room that's just looking at their computer, trying to figure out who to start this week. I know who. No, I'm working on a thesis. No, you're not.
Thesis. He's a sucky tight end. Don't start him.
Yeah. Thesis. You mean Thielen for the Vikings? he's a start.
Scalpel, please. A flex option this week.
Yeah.
Osteo by flex.
Yeah. I'm still here.
He fell in the hole.
That's a better view, anyways.
What are you guys talking about?
Down exponentially since you got on, Tyler. Just saying.
What? We went from 3-1? Damn.
Exactly.
Love that exponential style.
It's a break room. So what are you guys talking about? Decker?
And Macklin.
So from what I heard from my buddies, yeah, a guy who knows a guy.
Tyler, we don't have time.
Who knows a guy?
No, he said the shoulder isn't right and that he is really contemplating retirement. So, and he was
hogwash.
This was his uncle. And like, at first I was like, "You're full of shit." Because this is, and I'm just like, okay, how in the world did you talk to his uncle? And he told me that his wife went to school with him and told me the school. I looked it up and it matches. But yeah, he said that he's talked to Eric. Shoulder's not right. It's not healing correctly. And he thinks he might have to hang it up.
Well, I'm sure that Eric appreciates you telling everybody, because he was going to at least try to sneak in there and get one more paycheck.
Yeah, he won't do it unless he has like another E show coming out or something, a la Romo with the CBS deal. Like, he'll host up washed up wide receivers on E. They'll announce that, and then he'll announce his retirement.
Yeah, he's got a solo country album coming out, actually.
Yeah,
so strong country name there. I like that.
Eric.
Well, he's from Minnesota. No, he. I mean, you don't really need much money to live up here. I mean, you live off the land, you hunt.
You live off the land. You need the will to live.
You hunt with your bare hands. It's the Nordic way.
It's cold.
And you wait on your packages from Amazon.
Yes. 2 days, like everybody else. Damn you guys. You know what? I'm going to come up there, and I'm going to give you the biggest high five. That is I'm giving you Minnesota threats right now. I'm going to come down there, and I'm not going to shake your hand.
I'm only gonna shuffle.
You think he meant
shuffle
it?
Your sidewalk. That's it. Not your driveway.
Cut you with a gift card and then give it to you.
So basically, you're just an extension of Canada, right?
Hey,
we're like neighbors. Compared to Canada, we're like the crappy neighbors. We're the not so polite neighbors. So
yeah, we've seen Fargo. We know what goes on there.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say the crappy Canadian neighbors are like Buffalo.
Doug, I love your view.
That's what I'm saying. It's like forehead.
I'm on my phone.
So am I, and I can keep a good distance.
Oh, and we're sliding off the rails.
That is funny.
That's what happens when Tyler gets involved.
Yep.
Doug's brushing his teeth. He doesn't want us to see.
Yeah, what's going on from the nose below? So, anybody have a recent rookie draft they did that they want to talk about?
I'm in a rookie draft right now.
Picked up Malcolm Mitchell in the fourth round of a rookie veteran draft. Couldn't have been happier about it.
In the fourth round?
Yeah.
Huh.
Wow.
So one more thing. Which one of the Married to the Game guys was the scrawny arms guy?
He just walked out. It's like he knew that.
He was telling me before the show, he's like, is this queer?
He's probably been, I'm just like a motivational person to him. He's probably like, oh, I'm going to show him. That's it.
He pull probably just sent out to do a party pump, actually, maybe.
we call party pumps, you know, the meaning's a little different up here.
Yeah? Hey?
Doug's face. He got it.
Oh, yeah.
So Malcolm Mitchell in the fourth compared to who was around there?
I don't know, a bunch of bums. You know, I was just looking. Obviously that was it doesn't sound so great when you factor in the new Cooks addition for week one when everybody might be healthy, but Edelman has missed time in the past. Gronk goes down. You look at what Chris Hogan did in the playoffs that one time when Gronk was out. They moved pieces around, and last year, Casey can explain it a lot better than me, but the chemistry between Tom Brady and Malcolm Mitchell was ridiculous last year, especially for a rookie in that offense. And if you're a guy like me who believes that Brady's got tons left in the tank, if he wants to play, if the will for him to be on the field, I don't see any reason for him to stop. And I think that Malcolm Mitchell is a solid, solid dynasty asset. And he is in no way, shape, or form needed in my starting lineup anytime soon. It was just a luxury pick for me.
I'm on that Malcolm Mitchell train too. I mean, to get on that field as a rookie, I mean, he made plays. He wasn't just out there. He was catching balls and stuff. He had TB12's trust.
So you just got to look at his game log. I mean, his game log is just, you can see those spots where they decided that you know, the injuries were at the right place in the right time to lean on Malcolm, whether it was his injuries or not, whether, you know, the times you could see when he was healthy and you could see when some other guys were out of the lineup. Those games, it's not like he had a couple of, you know, a bunch of three catch games to get the catches that he had. It was either, you know, one or two catches or eight, you know. I mean, it was obviously the Patriots pick and choose what they do week after week better than any team maybe in league history as far as transforming their game plan from week to week. But you could see that rookie was playing some ball last year in certain spots. But the thing is, yeah, they got so many pieces that it can kind of, you know, slow it down from a trust factor from week to week. But if a couple guys get hurt, I love what Malcolm could do.
Yeah, and the thing with Malcolm is he's a elite recruit, so you got to put that in the perspective. He was injured all the time in Georgia, and if you produce year one in a Patriot system, that's huge. That's like having 700 yards in a different system. What was that?
Just to be able to get on the field as a rookie for the Patriots, and you know, that's crazy.
Yeah, and he looks a lot like what Tyler Boyd looks like, kind of that possession. You know, I think Mitchell has a little more outside receiver ability than Boyd does. I think Boyd is going to be, you know, just a pure slot guy. But, yeah, it's a great pick in the fourth, and, yeah, outstanding.
Sorry, I went straight to fourth. When you're, you know, your rookie draft, you had a lot more fun in the first round, but I just, that was just sticking out to me as a just overwhelming bargain.
Well, this is a prime example of kind of what happens on Married to the Game. The question was about a rookie, and somehow we got back on the Patriots. So sorry, Gabe, for bringing it back around to the beginning of this.
This is all just about Doug, anyways.
Just for Gabe's sake, let's bring up Jacksonville.
There we go.
We don't have to do that. no, we really don't.
The awkward silence.
We really don't.
All right, Gabe, you're out. Who's in? No.
Oh, Gabe's the backbone of this operation right now. We'd be falling apart without him.
Yeah, we need him.
I was just reading that Tom Coughlin said that they've pretty much fixed Blake Bortles' mechanics. So,
oh, sweet. That's good to know.
I saw that too.
pretty much. That's a.
Here's Blake Bortles.
No, it's like going to a theme park and saying, "We pretty much fixed it," and then everybody's like hopping on the ride. No, it's all right. You're good to go. We think it's all right. Possibly.
Yeah.
Pessimistic optimism. It's great.
Yeah, quarterbacks make a lot of strides in the preseason in the offseason when nobody's blitzing them. When they got that red shirt on. Their mechanics all of a sudden get so much better.
It's like magic. Yeah.
What about Allen Robinson, though? What do you guys think about him for next year? I mean, is there any hope of him returning to anywhere near what he had before? Or is it just like the guy's just sort of limited to like
– Allen Robinson's my hero.
I'm with you.
Mine too.
Well, I think the limitation is Blake Bortles. Obviously, he had the 40 touchdowns the year before, which was amazing. But that stat that came across Twitter the other day, I can't get out of my head. What did he say? He had 4 career touchdowns when the Jaguars were in the lead.
That's not an
encouraging stat.
No, it's terrible. So, I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever racked up fantasy points in garbage time the way the Jags made a living doing it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that being said, coming out of that season, going into a rookie draft, free agent draft last year, I traded Blake Bortles and got back a first rounder in Eli Manning.
God.
You know, just to toot my own horn for a second. Eli sucked anyway, but I had Tyrod. But no, as far as Allen Robinson's concerned, I don't think his abilities I don't think anything happened to negatively affect his abilities outside of the quality of target. I mean, the balls were all over the place. They were flying over his head or skipping off the ground because Blake Bortles was running backwards. But it would be interesting to see what happens when you bring in Fournette and Tom Coughlin puts his old school style. Maybe they change that offense up a little bit and with an actual threat to run the ball behind a terrible offensive line still. Maybe there's a little bit of play action and Allen Robinson can get deep.
Yeah. The thing is, I think Fournette, I think he's easily going to help everybody. But how much? I think Coughlin is just a stubborn old man that just wants everybody to get off his damn lawn.
Hopefully that one viewer isn't an old man.
But yeah, and I think Fournette's going to get his. I think Robinson will get his. It's that second wide receiver that is a toss-up to me. I mean, you got Marquise Lee fans. You got Allen Hurns fans. I mean, they paid Hurns last year, but I think they can get out after this year. So, how many targets will Robinson actually get with Fournette running the ball? Because you had Yeldon run it last year, and that was a joke. I don't care who you are. Yeldon isn't a good football player in my eyes.
Well, that kind of comes down to the defense, too, I think, though. I mean, if they're playing from behind, they're not going to run the ball as much. So, you've kind of got to keep an eye out for that. I mean, they try to make some improvements on the defensive side, but I don't know if it's enough yet.
Unless they got the Bears kind of coaching mind there and just run the ball even if you're down.
we're coming up in the redraft. Do you take Allen Robinson in the second round, or would you not do that? Just go to third, or what?
Way in redraft, but I'd still do it in a startup.
Good question, though. Dynasty. You're right. In a redraft where your money's on the line for this year and that's all that matters, I let somebody else take him and get somebody you can trust a little more.
Yeah, in redraft.
Pick up Marquise.
Redraft
rounds later.
Redraft. I'm going to go running back. I think just because if you have two stud running backs, I think you have an advantage over everybody.
Agreed. I think I'm staying away from both Allen Robinson and DeAndre Hopkins. I think they're kind of in similar situations.
Let someone else deal with that.
I'm gonna let someone else deal with it.
I'm okay taking a little bit more of a risk on Hopkins just because I think Watson really is going to depend on him the most. And we kind of already have seen what Bortles has done, and it's not great. And switching to that kind of running scheme, I still agree with you. I think I'd stay away from both, but I'd feel safer with Hopkins rather than Robinson for sure.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Do you think Watson's going to win the starting job there? I don't really care whether it's Watson or Tom Savage, as long as it's not Brock Osweiler throwing it to Nuke. I think he's going to be just fine.
Yep.
I'll take Savage.
I'll take Brandon Weenan.
All right, guys. I'm going to head out.
All right, buddy, man.
All right. See you, bud.
See ya.
Toodles.
I think Watson gets that starting job. Are they really committed to set, like? I can see a week one Tom Savage start just because Bill O'Brien is, he's gonna
stubborn.
He's stubborn. Yeah.
Tough system.
But, Watson obviously is drafted to be the guy there. So I feel like the NFL is trending more towards just throwing guys into the fire more than taking care of them.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely more comfortable with Hopkins. It's just a much better team situation over there in Houston than it is in Jacksonville. Good defense, good offensive line. I think he's going to have a lot more easier chances to do his thing.
Cool.
Yep, I agree with you.
Cool.
One thing on Robinson that I was going to jump in on is that he basically over the last couple years, he's been really, when he's been productive, it's been against corners that are kind of shitty or that they're just kind of slow, like they had a slow 40 time. And really effective when he was playing or
ineffective
in corners that were kind of fast or correlation in being better or can kind of keep up with him. So it's a small stat, but something to keep in mind as to why he did fail is probably because of he isn't that difficult to guard as some people may think.
I don't know. I feel like he goes up there and wins those battles in the air if it's anywhere in the vicinity.
Trust me, I'm with you, bro. Watching the tape, I love watching him play, and I was surprised to see it myself. But I don't know, it just made me question.
Buy low candidate. Go get him lower than you ever could before. He's slipping into the second rounds of startups now. That wasn't the case last year. He was going ties top five, I think, in some drafts. So I like the long term outlook. Still, I'm just fine with it.
Yep.
Well, the long term outlook is definitely not as beefy as it was when. The quarterback was coming off of 40 touchdowns. It is what it is. Like last year, if you looked on the tape, all the receivers had the same quarterback throwing them the ball. And Marquise Lee looked like the best wide receiver on the team. I know I said his name a couple times now, but if you look at, we just picked up Marquise Lee in the 18th round of a startup, and somebody paid for Allen Robinson in the late first, early second. I don't know where he went because he wasn't on our list there, but it's like I said, Marquise Lee looked ridiculous last year. He finally healthy. It was his third year. Whatever happened to the old third year breakout? we forgot about that. So
it's coming back.
Coming back around.
Devontae Parker, let's go.
They were throwing Marquise Lee a lot of red zone looks too, and I always thought that was so weird that Allen Robinson is the guy to go up and catch those balls. It kind of reminded me of not throwing the ball to Julio when they're in the red zone and they'd, just toss it up to Taylor Gabriel or Mohamed Sanu or something. I mean, that's kind of what Marquise Lee really is. And they were throwing it up to him. So I don't know.
Well, I think Marquise Lee was an early second round pick. I think I'd take him over the likes of Taylor Gabriel or Mohamed Sanu. But, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for the quarterback throwing it away from the number one receiver in the red zone. It's already tight quarters over there. And if your best guy's doubled up, that's why I love Crabtree, because everybody's looking at Mari Cooper and Crabtree's got single coverage over there. And Carr's smart enough and good enough to throw it to him. That's why Crabtree's touchdowns are there.
Is Bortles smart enough and good enough to throw it to Marquise?
That's a good question.
There's your third-year breakout is Amari Cooper.
Well, these mechanics are pretty much fixed, so we're good with Bortles.
Yeah,
I love the quotes around that. Pretty much, that's just asking for a good time. Just
dialing it in until August,
until somebody's blitzing him through that open offensive line that they got. It's like they're playing offensive line with four guys up there.
Yeah, but they did at the end of the season, they switched to Marone, and the offensive line played better at the end of last season, so there's at least a glimmer of hope there.
That's true. And when they did
Allen Robinson also played better at the end of the season too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you guys think they're gonna get Fournette hurt this year? They're just gonna pound him and get him hurt.
He's gonna get hurt regardless.
Yeah.
I think the people trying to tackle him is gonna get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, it can't be anything worse than what he was, the offense that he was playing in college.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, really.
Good point.
So we went this
way. The lower body injuries worry me a little bit with Fournette, but
I was just gonna say we went this whole time without really talking about rookies at all, which is kind of surprising to me.
Bravo.
I mean, yeah, good for us. I mean, it took us what? It's 10:47 here on the East Coast.
That's my fever broke like 2 months ago on the rookies.
We're done.
Y'all want to talk about some rookies?
Was everyone happy with their rookie drafts that they did or participated in?
Still, or do you feel like one in one right now, a slow draft? I just scooped up Chris Godwin in the third round. I was pretty happy about that.
That's pretty good.
Nice.
Yep, they're really hating on him now.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I'm in the middle of a 2QB, a Superflex one right now. We're in the middle of the second. Has anybody else done a Superflex rookie draft yet?
No.
Looking at one soon.
So it's always hard to tell where these quarterbacks are going to fall each year. And I'm just looking at my phone here to see where he went. The first quarterback off the board was at pick 10. And it was Deshaun Watson was the first one off the board. So, and then Kaiser went right after him. And then it took the second.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it took
Mahomes.
Mahomes went 202 in the 12 teams. Mahomes went 202. And then I took Trubisky at 2-4. Which is
it's just so different from a regular 12 team rookie draft, like no quarterbacks going and then quarterbacks just everywhere.
Like third, fourth round.
I mean, it pushes these guys down, like these other guys. What really surprised me was I had pick 1-9 and I got Mike Williams at 1-9. And I mean, that just blew me away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like Watson's first quarter.
We're just waiting for his back issues to blow you away.
Well, I drafted him and I saw the herniated disc thing. I was like, well, fuck me. I mean, screw this.
You give him to me. No, that's okay. You can ship him over this way. I'll take him.
I like him. I've got mixed feelings on him, but I think he'll be. I mean, you know, he's a high pick, so I think he's got a good chance to do it. And he bailed out Watson there, Clemson. You know, time after time. So,
well, Jay Wayne's wearing a Clemson hat right now.
That's true. Yeah, I'm preaching the choir there.
Yeah, the choir, the chorus, everyone. Yeah. I mean, I've seen every snap they've all played, and I have total faith in Mike Williams. I mean, he's just a physical presence out there. He's a monster. He's a big dude. He crushes in the air when the ball's up in the air. He's going to work hard. He's going to come to work every day. He's going to have his head down. He's a humble guy. Like, I wish he'd almost be more cocky. I wish he'd be more assertive. Like, that's not a problem with him. You're not going to have to worry about anything with this dude. I'm ready to draft him. I know he's going to fall. There's a lot of guys up there. I have 1-4 in a rookie draft in a league that we're all three in here. And I know I probably shouldn't take him that high, but it's going to be hard not to because I'm just a homer. But, I mean, if he falls to 1-6, you'd be all over that.
So, I mean, you already classified yourself as a homer, but is he your number one wide receiver? Is he above Corey Davis for you?
I mean, I think I've said on our podcast before that I would have to advise you to probably take Corey Davis over Mike Williams. I don't know that I'll be able to do that. Being honest.
Yeah.
Because if Corey, I mean, I would have to put Corey Davis ahead of him just because of what Corey Davis is too. I mean, he's Mike Williams, but faster and monster after the catch. Dude's awesome. But I mean, I would also like to see him healthy and doing something there in the offseason. So
yeah, he's a hurt too.
Yeah,
I heard his best comparable player on the player profile is Pierre Garçon. Could there be two more polar opposite names in terms of fun? The one guy's name is Corey Davis. Boring. The other guy's name is Pierre Garçon. He just sounds like way cooler.
Yeah, and cool name.
Cool name.
It's a cool name.
Give me some Garçon too. I'll take that.
That's funny.
Guy.
Whenever Pierre Garçon. came into the league and he's getting touchdown passes from Peyton Manning. I was like, this guy cannot be any good at football. His name is Pierre.
Hey, Pierre Thomas.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. It's like the only two Pierres that I can think of.
Or Jason Pierre-Paul.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Ooh, good one.
Juan Pierre, but I think he's a baseball.
Tom Pierre.
So how about the Yankees, huh?
Okay.
What do you think JPP's family's like on 4th of July? They're like, listen, just don't play around fireworks.
I don't think they celebrate 4th of July anymore.
It's over.
It's just another day.
Calendars have the 4th scratched off. Yeah.
They go to the movies together.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm coming for you.
Well, our boss is cutting us off. I know we've had too much to drink, clearly.
Yeah.
That's talking about he likes Mike Williams a lot. He's way too drunk.
Yeah, clearly. We're talking about, if you're talking about Mike Williams over Corey Davis, you just calm the fuck down and get off.
I didn't say that that's what you should do. I didn't say that.
I guess say your farewells, fellas, and we're going to get off here. So go ahead. If you want to throw a plug in there, feel free. And otherwise, just throw the deuces up.
Hey, yeah, guys, it's a really time to leave.
Check us out at Married to the Game, and we'll see you fuckers later.
That's a lot of fun. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Eddie, Doug, anything?
Hey, just listen and subscribe to Trophy Time, baby. You know where it's at. Let's do this. TFF Gurus fam, let's go.
Yep, Grab Bag Fantasy for me. You know the rules. All great podcasts. David, you better join the party or you...
Yeah, here, sorry. At Carl Jr. on Twitter. Listen to Dynasty Happy Hour every week.
Yep.
And yeah, don't forget about that Jet Set Dynasty Radio.
Hey.
Hey. Right. The network, what?
If we ever record
it. I think this worked out a lot better than I anticipated, quite frankly.
It's a hell of a lot better than Sunday. I couldn't turn my computer off. It was so bad. I mean,
yep, I was just in here singing.
I could hear you. It was so funny. I was cracking up. So I'm using my work computer today. So
yeah,
worked well.
All right. Well, I'm sure that I'm trying to count here. Mind you, that I've had cocktails. Six, seven of them.
That scissor up.
Six, six, seven. Yeah, that grape Sprite.
Sipping that scissor.
So I'm sure we'll see, any or some of the six of you later on, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it on the open bar.
Yeah. I like it on the weekdays.
I miss drinking on the weekdays.
I don't know about Saturday. Let's keep it on Wednesday. I like that too.
Waste
of Wednesdays or whatever. But hey, cheers, fellas.
Hump day.
Nice to meet all y'all. We'll see some of y'all next week.
Yeah, man. Good time.
See ya. Thanks.
This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.